We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Last 10 minutes of the program today we're spending with Colleen Carroll Campbell talking about a UN resolution on religion, on religious tolerance, which, hey, that sounds good to me. Religious tolerance is what Western civilization has been built on to a large degree. Not only the United States, but Western civilization. So what's wrong with the UN resolution calling for more of it? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Todd.
Come on. Religious tolerance is a pillar of Western civilization. It's very good. What's wrong with the UN calling for more?
Well, the UN Human Rights Council members who drafted this resolution are, of course, aware of our love of tolerance and diversity and interfaith harmony, so it's no coincidence that they used those very words in this resolution. But the objective of the resolution is very different from our notion of tolerance. It says, basically, that governments should actively work against and even punish those who criticize the religious beliefs of others, who the word that they use is defend. Same religions, and not coincidentally, given that this was sponsored by the powerful organization of the Islamic Conference, the only religion repeatedly mentioned as a victim of defamation, a victim that needs to be protected, is, of course, Islam. So what this resolution essentially says is there should be no public criticism of Islam, important figures in Islam, or Islamic beliefs, because it promotes disharmony, the resolution says.
Okay, you have pointed out, and I think rightly so, that what's at work here really is a very clever tactic on the part of this organization of the Islamic Conference to employ the vocabulary and rhetoric that the West is comfortable with, really in an attempt, as you just said, to exempt Islam from any kind of public criticism. So how does it work?
Well, it's increasingly the tactic that Islamic extremists are using more and more these days. Of course, they're still employing plenty of violence around the globe, as we know firsthand. But this tactic, which I've read one scholar called it lawfare, which I think was an apt name for it, is basically using organizations like the United Nations and in cases like the United Kingdom, which has a very a judicial system that tends to be very weighted toward the plaintiff, using lawsuits, libel lawsuits, to try to intimidate critics of Islam and Islamic extremism into silence. And they've already successfully done this with a lot of the Western media. We certainly saw with the Danish cartoon controversy a few years ago, you know, newspapers unwilling to even print the cartoon that caused the controversy for fear that they too would be targeted. This resolution actually specifically, those who were pushing this resolution actually specifically cited the cartoon controversy as an example of the sort of thing that happens when you let people defame religion. So interestingly enough, instead of taking responsibility, of course, for the violence, they said, what we need to do is not have cartoons like that. So it's certainly a very different tactic. And but again, they're clever about the language they use and the way they go about this. And on this UN Human Rights Council, they have all the votes anyway. So these kinds of things sail through.
Do the participants in this or the proponents of this seem to be aware at all of the egregious mistreatment of non-Islamic peoples in some Islamic countries, the total lack in some cases of any religious freedom in some Islamic nations?
Well, you would certainly never know it from the resolutions they pass, but of course, that's that they're very well aware of it. This is the folks sponsoring this, the nations that are pushing these kinds of resolutions, and by the way, this particular one has been passed in one form or another for more than a decade now, are very well aware of that persecution of religious minorities and the fact that theocratic Muslim states use these kinds of laws to squelch political and religious dissent. And, of course, that's why the European Union nations on the Council, Canada and Chile, banded together unsuccessfully to try to defeat this because they recognized it as a thinly veiled attempt to legitimize those anti-blasphemy laws that those theocratic Muslim states use. So, yes, and the members of the Human Rights Council are notorious human rights violators, and it's really a case of the fox guarding the hen house. And it moves from useless to dangerous when we see resolutions like this being passed. Meanwhile, no comment on the other human rights abuses that are going on around the globe, only resolutions that do things like this, which target, for instance, the Western print and electronic media, which was mentioned several times in this resolution. Other resolutions generally target Israel. But other than that, you won't see a lot of finger wagging at anyone else, particularly the worst human rights violators in the world.
In the circle of the United Nations, does the United States have anything to say about any of this or any of the United States allies?
Well, not a lot of power on this particular council. The U.S. under the Bush administration pulled out of this council a couple years ago, said this thing is a sham and we don't want to lend it legitimacy by being part of it, particularly, again, since the votes are so far weighted against Western democracies that, you know, one extra vote one way or another doesn't make a difference. President Obama just announced on Tuesday that he's going to have the U.S. seek a seat on the council, which it will probably win in place of Canada, which is rotating off. So he's taking a different tack. I think it's probably the wrong tack, given that the UN has proven over and over that it's not good at reforming itself. And I think the other approach of saying, hey, we're not going to be part of a council that is this far gone is probably better than sitting on the council and meekly voting your no against every resolution and losing again and again. But, you know, unfortunately, these Islamic states and their allies in Cuba and China and Russia and elsewhere can say, well, the U.S. is on this council and they may have voted against this resolution, but clearly this council and its resolutions have weight because here we have the world's superpower on our council. So I think it was a bad move on Obama's part, but I guess only time will tell.
What kind of binding force? I'm assuming not much coming from, you know, a council of the United Nations. So what's the net effect of a resolution like this?
Well, this has been passed in various forms, not only by this council, but by the General Assembly. The difference, I think, in why people are talking about it more this time is that OIC, the Islamic Conference, is actually seeking to try to make it binding at the General Assembly level. Now, whether or not they'll be successful with that, I don't know. It certainly just symbolically sends a strong message and a very dispiriting one to religious minorities, political dissenters, even moderate Muslims in these oppressive nations where, you know, an oppressive regime is backed up by, of all things, the United Nations Human Rights Council that's saying, yes, go ahead and punish those who defame, you know, the Prophet or who defame Islam. And, of course, they're completely confusing and subverting the Western notion of human rights anyway, which we always assign to individual, not to entire sets of beliefs that an individual may hold.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, Colleen, how does this bode for what little moral authority the United Nations may still possess?
Well, I think this particular resolution was a pretty big hit to the UN credibility. Of course, that credibility has been slipping for years, as all of us know. And again, this resolution isn't new, but the fact that it passed quite handily in this case, and unfortunately even with some surprising support from such nations as South Africa, I think it's a sad thing, and it just reminds us once again that the UN is in pretty bad shape and doesn't seem to be able to reform itself. I'm not too confident that any reform of the UN is going to come about from within. I sense it's going to have to be an outside job.
Folks, you can read Colleen Carroll Campbell's columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Again, you can read those columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Colleen, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we usually do some movie reviews as the seasons turn. Well, the seasons are turning. It's time to do some movie reviews with California screenwriter Brian Godawa tomorrow on Issues Etc. Seems kind of dangerous to use the language, the vocabulary, the rhetoric of human rights and religious freedom against religious freedom. Now, don't go throw the baby out with the bathwater. Religious tolerance is a good thing. It is a good thing. As long as we understand what we're really talking about here, tolerance is, I disagree with you, but I'm not going to kill you. I disagree with you, but I'm not going to try and make your ideas, your beliefs, and your teachings illegal. I'm going to tolerate both your beliefs and you. I'm going to live civilly together with one another, believing different things and acknowledging those differences, as stark as they may be. That is a big part of the recipe for a peaceful civil society. What's being proposed here by the UN is not religious tolerance, but religious intolerance, which is, I'm going to disagree with you, but if you say you disagree with me, then I am going to shut down your ideas and your beliefs. I am going to penalize you for saying what you believe, or whether you believe what I believe is wrong. That is not religious tolerance. That's religious intolerance. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.